Blog Talk Radio.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to week 9 of Arena Football Action. Welcome to the AFL League office in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your co-host, Evan Vladim. And joining me live is BJ Picard. BJ, how you doing?
Tremendous, Evan. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And did you know what music we were playing right there?
No, but it was a heck of an intro.
It was a heck of an intro. It was Deadmau5.
Is that right?
Deadmau5, they're... You know, it's techno. They're going to be in Chicago this weekend. We were talking about it yesterday. I know. Are you going to be there at that concert?
You know, I think I'm going to miss that one. But
your
I'm
schedule.
Sure it'll be great.
Well, you know what? We will all miss that one because we have one heck of a week of AFL action on our plate, week 9 of AFL.
Yeah, we do. 2 games tonight, 5 more tomorrow, another game on Sunday.
2 games in 1 week on NFL Network. We have... Had that game Monday night, Tampa Bay Storm versus the Kansas City Command. Special edition Monday night, Tampa Bay coming up with that W.
Yeah, they retired Lawrence Samuels' jersey at halftime, too. Lawrence Samuels, a long-time Tampa Bay Storm great. Spent 15 seasons with the Storm, which is pretty incredible for any genre of football, but especially arena football.
I watched the tail end of his career, actually, with the Tampa Bay Storm in 2010. He was injured. It was last year he played. I actually was crackbacked by Lawrence Samuels when I went out there to do my 2-day waiver practice. And
is that right?
I'll never forget it.
Law Dog broke me in, huh?
Law Dog broke me in. He's a great guy, you know, on the field, off the field, and it's great to see that number 22 retired in Tampa.
Definitely.
So this week was quite a week. We had the V-Power rankings come out, and... Came out Tuesday afternoon. We had the Philadelphia Soul at number 1 again. San Jose SaberCats coming in at number 2. The Utah Blaze coming in at number 3. Arizona Rattlers at 4. And the Chicago Rush at 5.
Yeah, Philadelphia, 7 straight games scoring 60 points or more. That's never happened in league history before. So they're number 1 at 6-1. San Jose actually jumped up from number 4, but I guess that'll happen when you drop 76 points on a team on the road. So pretty impressive showing in Iowa for San Jose. Utah stays put at 3, a close one against Milwaukee. But Utah, I think Utah's for real.
So you have the coaches poll as well in the V-Power rankings poll. And obviously there's some differences here. You have the Philadelphia Soul coming in at number 1, whereas number 2 in the V-Power rankings, you have San Jose. Number 2 in the coaches poll, you have Arizona getting 4 first-place votes. Philadelphia got 10. Now, tell me, Arizona coming in number 2 in the coaches poll and them coming in at number 4 in the V-Power rankings, obviously it's all statistical-based with their record win percent, scoring streak, and last the V-Power score, and you give them that rank. So tell me this differential we're seeing here in the coaches' poll versus the V-Power rankings.
Right. I mean, you just said it. The V-Power rankings is all about objective statistics. It's all on what have you actually accomplished this year, statistically speaking. I think the coaches' poll is more based on potential, what coaches think. Maybe down the road at the end of the season, you've got Philadelphia, Arizona. It's very subjective. And I think that's why you see the biggest difference But, I mean, that West Division with San Jose, Utah, Arizona, and even Spokane, it's likely the most competitive division we've got in arena football this year. So among those four teams, we're going to see quite a race to the end here as we're going into the second half of arena football.
And we have quite a matchup tonight. We got the Utah Blaze and Spokane Shock facing off on Friday night, which will be the second game on the plate other than the NFL Network game. And like you said, you know, it's gonna be a heated one. I mean, you look at the divisions around the league. You have just this West Division is so tight. It's such a competitive division.
Yeah.
You got the Rattlers, the Sabercats, the Utah Blaze, all tied up at 5-2.
Yep.
And then the Shock now 3-3. So.
Right, and I mean, San Jose and Arizona are going to face off this weekend. Spokane and Utah face off this weekend. So we're going to get some answers.
Rivalry weekend.
Rivalry weekend.
That's what we're calling it. A rivalry weekend in the AFL.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big one in the South Division, too. War on I-4.
The war on I-4, and you talk about rivalry. You talk about getting dirty. You talk about hard hitting. These teams don't like each other.
Orlando and Tampa Bay do not like each other. The fans don't like each other. But it is the best rivalry in the history of arena football, bar none. They are knotted up, 20 games apiece in the regular season. You'd think there'd be an edge in the postseason. There's not. Each team's won four games. So this is kind of the rubber match.
Fans, remember, you can call in. Join us live on Arena Football Friday Radio. Give us a call, 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. And we also moving back to the coaches' poll. Like we said, San Jose at number 3, sitting at 5-2. Chicago, number 4, receiving 2 first-place votes. And, you know, it's surprising they're dropping. I mean, they're still that team to be reckoned with out there, but... You know, I mean, we saw them undefeated, drop a game, and, you know, drop another. It seems to come down to the last couple of seconds of play for the Chicago Rush. And, you know, when it's do or die time, they can't seem to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, the game in Georgia was, I don't think that's representative of the Chicago team as a whole. Last week against San Antonio, you know, you're right, that did come down to the end. But you look at it, it's a divisional matchup playing against Aaron Garcia, and they're on the road. At home, they're still undefeated. They're 5-2. 2 losses came on the road. I don't think we've seen the last of Chicago. I think they're still going to be a team with those teams in the West Division that are fighting for that top spot in the National Conference this year.
And it really will come down to the play of Russ Micna, and honestly, that's what it'll be. So we'll see how Russ plays. Obviously, last week he made that decision to take the ball and run it. And he didn't get in the end zone. Time expired. You know, you kick that field goal, you win the game against San Antonio, Aaron Garcia's talents, and you aren't sitting at number four in the coaches' poll with 2 first-place votes. You're sitting at number 1 and number 2.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, everybody makes choices at the end of the game, and when they succeed, you look like a genius. When they don't, you look like a fool. But, I think things are still going to be looking up for Chicago down the road here.
Number 5, we have the Utah Blaze. Like we said, huge matchup against the Spokane Shock tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that really is a big game because somebody in the Arizona-San Jose game is going to lose.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if Utah wins, that puts them in the driver's seat. Conversely, if Spokane wins, they're right back in the hunt.
No, exactly. And what's interesting is Matthew Sauk, the OC out there in Utah, and he's familiar over there in Spokane. Is he not? You know, Andy Olsen coming in, taking over as the head coaching role, and he was in the running for the job. Matt Sauk wanted that Spokane shot.
Right, and he was with the team in 2010 when they won the Arena Bowl. Offensive coordinator there, and now he's in Utah. First season last year, he was the NFL Network Assistant Coach of the Year. It's going to be a good matchup.
This one's personal.
It's personal.
It comes down to it. That's our con at Rivalry Weekend. Again, you can give us a call, 347-324-3225, to talk arena football action. We'd love to hear you, fans. We'll go ahead and we'll move on to the award winners this week. And guess who's back?
Who's back?
Bobby Scipio.
Bobby Scipio's back, yeah. I think Orlando's looking up. You know, Justin Roper had a good game. Apparently, Bobby Scipio is his top target.
So you wake up this morning. You look yourself in the mirror. You put your Orlando Predators staff shirt on.
You're wearing an Orlando Predators staff shirt today.
You're on the bandwagon.
I would be nervous if I'm Tampa Bay this weekend. I think Orlando's coming for a win, maybe.
Well, like we said, they have their receivers in order now, with Bobby Scipio coming back, T.T. Tolliver healthy,
yep.
And Dwayne Eli Jr.
He's a threat, too.
We seem to talk about this team week in, week out. Last week, I said Philadelphia watch out, and they gave them actually a run for their money.
They did. Orlando had a 20-point lead at halftime? Something like that?
Yeah.
And ended up giving up 28 consecutive points in the second half there. The defense is good. They got to put it together for a whole game.
No, and they do. So, and this week, who's going to be their starting quarterback?
Well, I think you got to stick with Roper. He's getting into a groove. He had 8 touchdowns last week. Found Scipio. He likes Scipio. He's got Tolliver, like you mentioned. I would be surprised if Leak doesn't see some action, because, you know, like we talked about last week, they gave up a starting offensive lineman for him. So they obviously have a plan in place, but I think you got to stick with Roper at least a little bit longer, because I do think he's got some qualities to make him a quality starting quarterback in this league.
And I do, too. I think Roper is a great player, and I actually spoke with Les Moss about Chris Leak a little bit yesterday, and Les is going to be featured tonight's Arena Football Friday on NFL Network with the Jacksonville Sharks. Obviously, Chris Leak starting the first game of the season with the Sharks. I also spoke to Omar Jacobs, who said you can see it. Yeah, he started his first week of the season, but Chris Leak, he was not ready. He was not prepared for the Arena Football game. You can see it in his eyes that it just wasn't his time. So, you know, what you need to do, you need to pull him back. You need to give him reps in practice. You got to get him adjusted to the game of Arena Football, because you can't throw a guy in day one and expect him to get the game down.
No, absolutely. I mean, Chris Leak won a national championship at Florida. But that's a different game than Arena Football. Roper's been in the lineup the last several weeks. He actually tied Nick Hill's franchise record for first down touchdown passes last week. He had 6 first half touchdown passes. So experience speaks a lot in this league. It really does. That's why I think you're going to see Leak start to get some action. But I would be shocked if they threw him into the starting lineup right away.
No, exactly. So let's obviously Roper is going to be hitting Scipio. Obviously, it helped last week because Scipio came in as the Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week. We had San Jose defensive lineman Joe Sykes as the Rydell Defensive Player of the Week. And the JLS Ironman of the Week is not PJ Barry this week.
No. It's Jason Holman. Holman started the game at nose guard on the defensive line. They had an injury at fullback, needed to step in, and he did. Holman was the Arena Bowl 24 Ironman of the game. He played offensive line and defensive line in that game. He's a big guy that's very versatile, and I think we've heard Les Moss say on several occasions he's the most versatile guy in the Sharks lineup. And then going back to the Defensive Player of the Week, Joe Sykes, he actually set a new franchise record, 4 sacks last week. So you think about it, he's playing in San Jose, one of the most storied franchises in arena football history. Set a new franchise record with sacks. Also think about this. San Jose has the 3 top active sack leaders in AFL history on their defensive line. And Joe Sykes, not among them, but he's lighting it up.
He is. And obviously you got Gabe, you got Tim McGill.
Yep.
They're the top all-time leaders in statistics with sacks. You know, yep. That's some team. That's That's a scary defense.
It really is, yeah. You don't want to be a quarterback lining up against that defensive line.
You don't. And, I mean, Tim McGill really can't jump, you know, and they're really cracking down on that this year. But McGill's still effective.
Yeah, I mean, that whole defensive line is very impressive. And I think when you assemble a line like that, you can try to take away one guy, but you can't take away all of them. And I think that's why you've seen at other positions, on other teams, namely Arizona. You know, you got Maurice Purifoy, who is still very difficult to stop, but even if you do, then you got Kerry Reed to deal with. And that's something that I think you see the teams at the top of the pack, they have those situations on their roster where you can take away one guy, but you can't take away all of them.
And I agree. And last week, like we mentioned, Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week, Bobby Scipio, he brought in 12 balls, 152 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And the Predators lost to the Philadelphia Soul. Like we said, that was a close one. And this week, we're looking forward to that matchup against the Tampa Bay Storm in the War on I-4. We have the Cutters Catch of the Week. Our boy, defensive back Rod Mosley from the Tampa Bay Storm, snagging that award. We had Mike Washington as the AFL Playmaker of the Week.
Franchise record, 13 pass receptions in that game.
And we had Chandler Williams coming in, Tampa Bay Storm, and we'll have a chance to see Williams tonight. He had a great game.
Yeah, he scored 3 touchdowns in Monday night's game, but he scored them 3 different ways. He caught a touchdown, he had a kick return for a touchdown, and he recovered a loose ball in the end zone for a touchdown. So that's pretty tough to score in 3 different phases of the game. So that was an impressive performance and a Spalding highlight of the week. Very well deserved.
And Williams went to Florida International University. He seems to be playing well in arena football. You know much about this Williams kid? I mean, he's coming up strong this year.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay is—they put together a pretty nice receiving core there with him and Prisha Rodriguez, who is really solidifying his contention for Rookie of the Year. Plus, when Amari Jackson is healthy, he's quite a threat as well. So Steve Wazel has some options there in Tampa Bay. They have a decent receiving core there to grow on.
We also had the National Guard MVP of the week was Milwaukee's Marcus Everett, who also went both ways. He was playing some linebacker and some wide receiver.
Yeah, Marcus Everett is a traditional Ironman. Plays Jack linebacker all game. Also sees snaps at wide receiver. He scored 4 touchdowns on 5 receptions last week. So, impressive player.
And you got to look at the game nowadays, like we say week in and week out. The Ironman game, in some facets, it's back.
Yeah, there are certainly legitimate traditional Ironmen out there. There's also the game's changed. There's no two ways about it. It's different than it was 10 years ago. Ironman in today's game means a guy that can do multiple things. But traditional Ironmen are guys that go both ways, and that is tough to do. It's tough to play an entire game playing all sides of the ball. So the performance that Marcus Everett puts up every week and other guys, Jason Holman we mentioned earlier, that's really something to be recognized for. It's something to celebrate. So kudos to him on National Guard MVP. And it's fun to watch these Ironmen play.
The story of the week in Chicago. Derrick Rose goes down last week. The Bulls are out of it, out of contention.
Yeah, go Sixers.
There you go. You got to get your Philly.
Got to show love to my former employer.
So you got the Blackhawks losing. You got the Cubs and the White Sox just, you know, not playing well. But Chicago does have the 17th greatest player in AFL history, Chicago Rush head coach Bob McMillan.
Yes, sir.
Look at that.
That's something to celebrate. It really is. It's impressive to be on this list of the 25 greatest players in AFL history, and Bob McMillan is truly one of the all-time greats. Fullback linebacker for many, many years in this league, played for Arizona, played for San Jose, won a championship in Chicago and Arizona and San Jose. one of a very select group of players to have earned three Arena Bowl championships with three different franchises, and really is embraced in this Chicago community. Just beloved as a coach, beloved as a player, one of the all-time best pass-blocking fullbacks in the history of arena football. So very well-deserved, and you'd be hard-pressed to find one of the nicer, more committed guys in this game. Bob McMillan, you can't say enough good things about him.
And exactly. I actually saw somebody at Target last night walking around with the Bob McMillan jersey. I was like, oh, 17th greatest player right there. McMillan actually tweeted at us, "It's an honor to be named the AFL Arena Ball Greatest Players of All Time list. Thanks to all the fans for making everything possible. Bob, congratulations. We thank you." And Bob has a big matchup this weekend.
Yes. Yes, with Iowa on Sunday.
Should
against
be
the old coach.
Old ball coach. And that's another one. Rivalry weekend. It's here. It's coming. It starts tonight.
Yep. Hohensee returns to Chicago with the Iowa Barnstormers, as does his quarterback, J.J. Redering, who came within, a touchdown, taking the rush to Arena Bowl last year.
And he did. He knows the rush offense. He knows the rush defense. He knows everybody in the system. You got to wonder what their film study was this week in Iowa. I mean, come on. Hohensee knows that the offense. He knows the defense.
Yeah, there's such familiarity in this matchup, and I think they probably just burned the tape from San Jose. That was probably not representative of Iowa as a team, because we think from what we've seen in all the other games that Iowa's a team on the rise, and it is a rivalry game, Iowa and Chicago. So I'd expect a pretty decent game Sunday afternoon.
Fans, remember, give us a call, talk live. Speak of arena football action, week 9 with us, 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. Go ahead and run down the matchups for this week quickly. As we have the New Orleans Voodoo at the Jacksonville Sharks Arena Football Friday. Net 10, Arena Football Friday on NFL Network is this very evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacksonville, New Orleans. Actually, both teams feature starting quarterbacks from Ohio universities. Kind of interesting. Omar Jacobs played at Bowling Green. Kurt Rocco at Mount Union. Omar Jacobs, he's coming along. Threw the ball a whole lot last week. Set some passing records, actually, for the Jacksonville franchise. Didn't always throw the ball to his team, but
four interceptions.
Four. But he did for the first time this season. Jacksonville had three receivers that topped the 100 yard mark in the game, and I think that's important. You got three targets that you can go to, and like we said earlier, it's so vital to have different options that you can go to, so defenses or offenses can't shut down just one player. So I think we're going to have a pretty decent matchup here on Net 10 Arena Football Friday on NFL Network tonight.
And like you said, mentioned the quarterback position. You have Kurt Rocco, a young gunslinger that I like. Past couple games, he's been struggling. Second consecutive game, he's been held under triple-digit rating. And it wasn't his highest statistical game against the Power. It was actually his worst of the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I think Rocco is somebody that, he started off red hot. He was not missing a beat. He came back down to earth a little bit, but I think New Orleans is a team that they're in every game that they play this year. They're not getting blown out or anything like they did last year. So I think, they have some weapons. I anticipate a real good game tonight.
I'm excited. And Omar Jacobs, like you said, former Heisman Trophy, they had him talking. He, in the preseason, they said this guy was going to win the Heisman. I believe it was his junior year. Maxwell Heisman, I believe it was Walter Camp, if I'm not correct, or was it?
I mean, he was on a lot of award lists his junior year in college. So he's got skills. But like we said earlier with Chris Lee, it's about adjusting to the game. And I think you see Omar Jacobs doing that. But that's going to come with some hiccups.
It's going to be a fun one to watch, I'll tell you that much. Again, that's Net 10 Arena Football Friday tonight on NFL Network featuring the New Orleans Voodoo at Jacksonville Shark at the sunny Seabed Field in Jacksonville, Florida. Move to Milwaukee at Philadelphia. So Milwaukee sitting at 2-4. Philadelphia, the hottest team in the league, at 6-1.
And we've talked about Philadelphia quite a bit, 6-1. The record speaks for itself. But Milwaukee, they've lost three games of their four losses. Three of those games have been by less than a touchdown. You take those away, you're looking at a team that's 5-1, not 2-4. You know, the ball bounces a different way. Who knows? But that's a good football team. That's going to be a good matchup. I think we're going to see exactly who Philadelphia is and exactly who Milwaukee is in this game.
And it's going to be an interesting one to watch next week. The following week, Milwaukee is going to be on Arena Football Friday on NFL Network. Should be an interesting one. Then we have the War on I-4 this Saturday night featuring the Orlando Predators at 1-6, facing the Tampa Bay Storm at 4-3, 7:30 Saturday evening.
Yep, that's going to be a good one. It always is.
It's a great one. I'm excited for that one. And like you said, appreciate Rodriguez, Chandler Williams stepping up big for the TV Storm. Saturday at 7:30, you have the Georgia Four sitting at 3-4 at the Pittsburgh Power at 2-5. Both struggling teams. Who's going to be the starter out in Georgia? RJ Archer, Kevin Eakin.
They had most of their success this year with RJ Archer. I would anticipate him being back under center. They haven't scored 30 points in the last two games. That's a big problem. So you need that offense to start firing.
So Eakin, last week, he completed 54.5% of his passes with 223 total yards and three touchdowns, throwing two interceptions. Obviously, Larry Chip and C.J. Johnson being the biggest targets out there. And also, we saw a new quarterback in Pittsburgh, Brian Randall, and this is a team with quarterback issues.
Since Pittsburgh came to the league, they've had quarterback issues. But Brian Randall looked good, made his AFL debut, 309 passing yards. First quarterback in Power franchise history to debut with 300-plus passing yards in a game.
Well, look at that. And you know,
I mean, he had his turnovers, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But he did throw the ball a lot.
Power, and it's unfortunate. You know, what's great team. And we'll quickly run down the National Conference matchups of the week. San Antonio Talons are going to Kansas City to take on the Command this Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, they get Jomo Wilson back for Aaron Garcia, but Robert Quiroga's on IR. Derek Lee's on IR now. Injury bug just keeps hitting that receiving core.
And, you know, Aaron Garcia, he's out there. He's still putting in work, and we'll see how he can finish this year off. Spokane Shock 3-4 at the Utah Blaze. Like we said, that's going to be a doozy at 9 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And Utah, you know, 5-2. They need a win. Spokane needs a win. That's a recipe for a pretty good football game.
Then we got the big one, San Jose, 5-2 at the Arizona Rattlers, 10 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday evening. And that's one you can't miss.
Absolutely not. They met in week one. It was 71-70 San Jose. Absolute thriller in overtime. Must watch this week, too.
And then we got our Sunday afternooner, the Iowa Barnstormers, 3-4 at the Chicago Rush, 5-2. Must win for the Chicago Rush. Must win for the Iowa Barnstormers. Big divisional matchup. That one kicks off at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, two losses this week. Got to win. Got to win.
They do. Arena Football fans, thank you for joining us in this week's edition of Arena Football Friday Radio. We'll see you next week.